Well, dear brothers, in this recording, we come to actually lesson 30 of the lessons on eldership. We missed this meeting last time due to a particular burden on one of the previous lessons, and so we're just going to make it up by video. I hope that all the brothers who have registered for this training will find a time to view this video and to get into the subject matter, as you always do in one of your weekly digestion meetings. The meeting of the elders, this is a very, very important subject. What can I say? It's too important, too central to in the administration of the elders in a local church. Just as the elders are the central group of people, and I don't mean in a hierarchical sense or positional sense, but I do mean that in a very real and very practical and a very spiritual sense. These elders are the heart, you may say, of a church. But I must tell you that the meeting of the elders, which includes the fellowship of the elders, the prayer and the deliberation of the elders concerning the condition of the church that they're overseeing, concerning the condition of the saints, concerning the Lord's testimony there in that locality, concerning the move of the Lord in their midst, concerning almost everything related to that church, spiritual and even, practical matters. All these things ought to be covered, ought to be discussed, ought to be considered and fellowship over in a meeting of the elders. And so I would say the meeting of the elders in this sense is the heart of the heart. The eldership is the heart, but without the meeting of the elders on a regular basis, it is like that heart is without a heart. So I would like to start off in this in a very, very definite, in a very, very clear way, and that is to impress upon you, brothers, that if you are an elder, if you are even just a responsible brother, not an official elder, you bear responsibility, you're helping the lead in a local church, then you must take this meeting, treat this meeting, this weekly meeting, hopefully, at a minimum, with great respect. You must list this meeting as priority in the eldership and even in your church life. You must do everything not to miss this meeting. If you're out of town or you have other emergencies, that's another thing. But I would say this meeting is too important. Even your family affairs can wait. Even other things of your work can wait. But this meeting has to be held in a very esteemed position. I cannot say enough just from the outset to impress you of that. No elders meeting, almost you can say no real functioning eldership. And without a functioning eldership, you cannot have a normal church, a functioning church, a church that is advancing. And sorry to say, in my travels, in my contact with different localities, I certainly have seen my share of church life with no such meeting. And it's not because they don't have leading brothers or responsible brothers. It's either that they have no concept of the importance and the crucialness of such a meeting, Or they meet, when they meet, they treat this meeting very lightly. Or when they meet very, very infrequently, only when there's some need or something to discuss, they would meet. Otherwise, they would say, why do we meet? We just go to the church meetings and carry on. Or they, when they come together to meet this meeting, they are distracted by other things. They are not, the entire being is not exercised there. It is a light matter. There's not much prayer, there's not much serious fellowship, there's no sense of waiting on the Lord, there's no sense of seeking the Lord's instructions and directions in His presence. Some of them are just kind of a get together in Starbucks, you know, just to talk, a group of brothers, about the church. Some meetings have almost no prayer or just 5 minutes, 10 minutes prayer as a kind of program, and they proceeded to have a conversation and discussions about things. You get my point, brothers. I'm very, very heavy about this, and I'm really laboring with you on this matter. I think there must be a change. There must be a change. If we mean business in the matter of the leadership and helping to take the lead in a locality, I don't care even if that locality is relatively small. There may be 20 people there or 30 people there. But even with that number of saints, you need a group of brothers that would labor together, that would sacrifice themselves, that would treat such a meeting of the leading ones with utmost dedication. So we're going to talk about this in this outline, and I think at the end of this outline, you all should be more than convinced. But I hope it won't stop there. I hope there would be a renewal. Talk about a renewal of the leadership, the renewal of the eldership. I hope there would be a full renewal even in the meetings of the elders. The meetings of the elders. Perhaps even you have a meeting, but you've been meeting in a wrong way. You have not been meeting in a way that that is on point. A meeting that is really that result in taking the church on. A meeting that really executes God's government or God's administration in that church in your locality. So please, brothers, pay your utmost attention to this matter, pray about this, and collectively in your locality, go to the Lord about this. I'm quite serious about this. There may need to be a reset, a new start, even in the practice of the meetings of the elders. So let's go into this outline. Roman 1, it says, the meeting of the elders is the source of things. What things? All things related to the church. Everything related to a local church. Of course, primarily it's spiritual. Things related mainly to the saints. Things related to the meetings of the church. Things that related to the spiritual well-being of the brothers and sisters. Things related to the going on of the Lord's testimony in the church. So that the meeting of the elders is the source of all these things. All these things should emanate or come out of that source. It is that important. Now you say, my goodness, this is like sounds like a hierarchy. No, this is not a hierarchy. This is God's principle. This is God's way of administration. That's why He had elders in the Old Testament, and He has elders in the New. This is for the execution of His administration. I would even say this meeting is governmental in nature. And so, brothers, please see this. Please see this. If you don't have a proper elders meeting, we're cut off from the source. There's almost no source no source. The church would be without a source in carrying on. A, when the responsible brothers in each locality are gradually manifested, or when the locality already has responsible brothers, they should meet together. Of course, here, when the word responsible brothers is used, it refers to the elders. But I think we all know now that in our gathering as such, in the church, nowadays, oftentimes, there's not only the so-called appointed elders, there it would include some learners, right? Brothers who are learning to function in that way, even though they are not officially appointed. And sometimes it would even include or involve some brothers who are not learners, but what we call today responsible ones. Now, these ones may not meet regularly with the brothers, but they may join such a fellowship for their perfecting, for their learning from time to time. But in any event, whenever there is a new church started, and when there is, after some time, there is a sufficient manifestation of some brothers who have this kind of a gift or this kind of a function, this kind of a burden, and this kind of givenness, then there should be a meeting of these brothers. They just should meet together once a week to deliberate, to pray concerning the matters of that church. Be every week the responsible brothers in the locality should meet. I think nowadays, or in our historically in the Lord's recovery, once a week meeting of the leading ones is somewhat a custom among us, or a habit among us, and I think that is about right. Now, there are some places when certain brothers have time, or full-time leading brothers, they may need more. They may meet more than that, or they may come in at another time just to pray, and that would be wonderful. But I'm talking about at a minimum, even with brothers who are who do a job, they should gather together once a week to meet together concerning the affairs of the church. Now, let me just say something here. You would ask, how long should that meeting be? Well, I don't know. But I just know that that meeting cannot be 30 minutes. I would even say that meeting cannot be an hour, typically. How long it should be, in my experience, I would say at least it should be an hour and a half. Maybe in the smaller church, there's not as many things to fellowship about, maybe. But 2 hours should be quite ordinary. 2.5 hours, even 3 hours, depending on the need and the subject matters, that should not be uncommon among us. Now, when do we meet, some of you say? Well, it just it depends. Many churches meet on Saturday mornings, and that is good because that is a little bit more time. Some other churches, they meet on Lord's Day in the afternoon or evening, and that is good too. Some other churches, they meet on a Monday night or a Thursday night. Not the best because it's after the work, people are tired. But if that is the best time for all the brothers, and that is fine too. But the main thing is to sanctify. All the brothers have to sanctify that time, set apart that time, prioritize that time, sacrifice yourself that time. Your wife should know about it. Your children should know about it, that when that time comes, you have to be there. Your whole being has to be there. And they would understand, and they would support it. They would even sacrifice their needs for such a time, because this is a time that the brother is before the Lord with a group of brothers to take care of God's business, to take care of kingdom business, to take care of church business. This is a serious thing. Later on, there's a paragraph here or some thing in the outline in that regard. talking about Panton when he was young. He remembered when he was young, his father would be in his library or study just praying for his children. And they would just tiptoe around that. They would know that is the time that you just don't bother their father. He was at that time transacting with God on their behalf. And it's a very, very serious time. And Brother Lee likened the elders' meeting to this, that even the saints would know there's such a meeting, and the saints would have great regard and esteem for this meeting. All right. See, when that meeting is strong, they will be able to lead the brothers. The brothers means the saints. So when the leading, when this meeting of the elders is built up and strong and robust and functional, then it would be easy for this group of brothers to lead the saints, to lead the church onwards. This meeting, as the center of things, must be strong. Brothers, we need to build up a strong elders' meeting. Now, let me say again, not as a matter of an exclusive club, not as a matter of something hierarchical in nature, no, but it is something that expresses or represents the Lord's government, the Lord's administration in a church, in a locality, and that meeting must be strong. All right, two. Things to pay attention to in the meetings of the elders. So please pay attention to these things. A, in the meeting of the elders, you need to bring in all solemnity. I like this word. There should be not be joking and light conversation. This is a meeting, much like the president is meeting with the cabinet to review or discuss the domestic affairs. Or the president is meeting with the National Security Advisor, the Chief of Staff from Pentagon, the Secretary of Defense to discuss foreign policy. That is a very solemn meeting. You just don't come in there and just banter or jester or joke around and make light of that meeting. That is a very serious meeting before the throne of God, and all should be solemn and not be light. All should be have a very serious attitude. It's a holy time. Number one, when you come to this meeting, you should say, we're handling things before God and should not have a loose attitude. I think that one sentence says it all. We are before God. This is more important than a meeting in the White House. And we must not be loose. Two, unnecessary words should be reduced. Everybody should come together in a serious way and consider things item by item. This is a time when we spread the matters of the church, the needs of the church, the going on of the church before the Lord in His presence. We are in the holiest of all. We are before the mercy seat. We're just the priests laying the church before God. And so we, of course, has to be serious. And we need to consider item by item. Even every item should be treated in a serious way. It may be big item, sometimes it may be small item. But even the small items, we have to treat them seriously, one by one. B, if you have a feeling or something to say, that means all those present, you should bring it up in the meetings of the elders when all the brothers are together. You should not talk behind others' backs. All right? This is one time where the brothers to come together physically to consider the matters of the church. And inevitably, a lot of these things touches could be sensitive matters related to the saints, could be something that is not quite public yet, something that other saints and people should not know about. This is not to be secretive. This is just the way it is. And so the brothers should have a practice of what? Of when you have a feeling, you have a burden, you have something to offer, you have an opinion about something before the Lord, you come to the meeting. The meeting is the time to open up, to share, to fellowship. Do not talk outside the elders' meeting about these things. I wouldn't say about everything, but I make it a practice. I hope all you brothers would learn that whether big things or small things, don't go home and talk to your wife. Don't go about and talk to some saying, well, we discussed this, the brothers talk about that. No, don't do that. And the Lord knows my wife never would even ask. I know there are wives that ask. The moment the husband comes home, hey, what do you all talk about? What did the elders talk about? And and some of the brothers proceed to talk to them as if they are elders. No, there's no such thing. That is wrong. That is wrong, brothers. The sisters should know not to ask you what the elders talk about. And we should practice likewise. If anyone does not speak in the meeting of the elders, yet goes out and speak to others, he is a person with a double tongue. You must rebuke him sharply. My goodness, this is quite serious. This is Brother Watchman Nee. Okay, if you have a feeling, brothers, say it in the meeting. All right? Don't go out and say it. Well, I disagree with that. They talk about that. I really didn't agree with it. My brothers, this is double tongue. This is this is unethical, even in human terms. This will cause all kinds of problems, and this will even cause bring in a kind of a suspicion and eventually misunderstanding and even division. Brothers, do not do that. If you cause the meeting of the elders to become light, loose, or sloppy, if decisions are made based merely on some conversation without any prayer, the work in that area is over and useless, or the work in that church is over and useless. In that place, there's no spiritual weight at all. So here are these points worthy of repetition. The elders come together, don't make the meeting. Sometimes it's not the meeting. You know, the meetings are created by people. Those who meet determine what kind of meeting that determine the nature of that meeting and the condition of that meeting. If we are all lightweight, if we are all loose, if we are all sloppy, the meeting will be like that. If we treat the meeting in that way, the meeting will become that way. And here, a particular point, I'm very burdened about this, is so many meetings of the brothers, decisions were made, even important decisions were made, without prayer. Or may I say, without adequate prayer. Sometimes we just feel we have not prayed enough, brothers. We're not ready to make the decision. Let's come back again. Let's pray some more separately and together until we have the Lord's mind. So don't, it's so easy. Just go and get some coffee. You drink coffee, I drink tea, and we just kind of talk about some church matters. And then we say, okay, this seems logical. Let's make a decision. No prayer. That is to dishonor the head. That is to do things neglecting his presence. That is to make light of the throne of God. Brothers, this is altogether wrong. I would like to suggest in a proper elders' meeting, you need to pray for at least 20, 30 minutes and not too much. You say, well, there's nothing to pray about. I would really, really seriously question, brother, what kind of elder are you to say there's nothing too much to pray about? Have you prayed about all the saints yet? Have you prayed about so many areas of the church yet? And you have nothing to pray about? Eldership and these meetings are not about just when there's problem, let's meet. When there's some urgent decision to be made, let's meet. No. This is a place where we discuss and fellowship about the advance, the going on of a local church. No wonder many churches are stuck. They're just stuck for ages, for years, for decades, not going anywhere. They just come and discuss problems. The eldership meeting is not just a time to solve problems, although we do that. It is a time to seek the Lord for how to go on with the church life, how to go on with the saints, their life, their knowledge of the truth, their spiritual development, the condition of the home meetings, the condition of the church meetings, the many, many situations, the condition of the giving of the saints, many, many areas, the condition of the gospel preaching. Too many things, my brothers, and we say we have nothing to pray about. Well, I would say pray, not only pray, as you pray, the Lord will lead you, the Spirit will lead you to target one or two specific burden, and you spend the time to labor there. Learn how to pray together. Learn how to coordinate together. All right? All the brothers should pray. All the brothers should enter in. No one should just sit there and be a spectator. We want our meetings to be full of spiritual weight, weighty meetings. See, no one can go home and tell his wife anything that takes place in the meeting of the elders. I mentioned that already. Nor can any brother go out and tell a second brother anything that happens in the meetings of the elders. Not just wife, not just children, or someone close to you, but not even just some saint or some brother, what happened in the meetings of the elders. This is what we call confidentiality. Without this kind of confidence, it's hard for the brothers to open up, right? For all the saints, brothers present, to be free, to be intimate, to touch, to open to touch certain sensitive subjects or matters. We need to practice confidentiality. As to how a matter was decided and handled in the meeting of the elders, it is better that these words be buried in the grave. Strong words. Buried in the grave. No one would ever even know it. This is a matter before God and not a matter to be talked about. These are things between a group of leading brothers who have the interest of the Lord in mind, the interest of the saints in mind, and they are fellowshipping about these matters in God's presence. The Lord knows it, they know it, and that is good enough. Now, of course, certain things later on will be announced, will be shared with the saints at the right time, of course. Then everyone would know about it. Number three, the importance of the meetings of the elders. All right, it seems we've been talking about this already, but let us come to this, Romans 3. A, if the elders' meetings is strong before God, all the other meetings will spontaneously be uplifted. This meeting is the center of everything. I think I've talked about this already. Now let me say a word here also. Besides the elders' meeting, today we may have various brothers that meet together to coordinate for different works in the church, right? Campus work, young people's work, and so on. There would be even brothers meeting together to take care of a certain district of the church. In principle, even though those meetings are not elders' meetings per se, but I would say the exercise, the strength of those meetings is just as important. Let's say some brothers are overseeing a certain district. This is a good time to even train up the young brothers to respect that time and not come and go as they please. And by the way, it is a good practice to keep attendance in these meetings. You know, we do that here in Irvine. We know exactly how many meetings a certain brother makes. And by looking at that over a period of months, we know How come this brother is always missing? Why? Has he lost heart for this? Does he have some situation? It is not right. Absence should be rare. Presence should be common. We should do everything not to miss these meetings. And we train up the younger ones, let's say, in a district setting of brothers coming together in the same way. Right? There should be a culture among us. B, to take care of a meeting of the elders, you should concentrate your entire being there. Not only your present, you set aside your time, but when you're there, you're all there. I don't agree in meetings, saints or brothers are on their phone doing business, so, you know, or on the internet checking the news or otherwise distracted. It may be good to, you know, I don't mean, you know, we do have these devices. Sometimes we do need to check up on something, an email or some information. I don't mean to be legal about it. But basically, it is just good etiquette, good and proper way to have a meeting that where everyone present is engaged. No one would seem disengaged. And that is very, very demoralizing to the rest. Someone who is half there, or someone who is asleep there. No, we should do our best, brothers, to just put aside these things and concentrate our whole being for those hours to take care of very, very serious business. See, the elders' meeting is the watchtower of the whole church. That's the place where the watchmen, the shepherds, are standing watch. They are garrisoning, you know, the city walls. They are keeping watch of the situation of God's people, of the church. I like this. This is Brother Nee, I think. I don't remember. But the idea of their standing watch in that meeting, watching over the whole church. Okay? One, the saints have no meeting, no feeling many times, but you have some feeling first. It is in this meeting that everything is sensed first. I certainly can testify. Many of you can. We have served for a long time as leading ones, as elders. The saints, they just walk about in the church life. They don't know what's coming. Even the train is coming down the tracks. They're not that aware. But we should be very exercised over the saints, over God's flock, to see the danger coming, to see situation changing, even to have the foresight, a kind of foresight of what may be happening. Now, that kind of sense, even sometimes if that kind of intuitive sense, or that kind of sense that comes from just a close watch, that comes from constantly observing the environment and the brothers and sisters, that kind of intuition that comes, that kind of sensation that comes, is quite remarkable. I don't know how to explain it, but when we pray in the Lord's presence, then based on our certain observation of what we have seen, what we've heard in the church life, the feeling would come to us. There's certain need here. There's certain lack there in among these saints, or in that meeting, or in that facet or aspect of the church life. And this is right. The elders should have a sense, individually and eventually corporately, well before the saints would feel anything. That's the point of being standing guard. That's the point of being a watchman. Right? Two, before the difficulties around you are apparent, you can sense them in this meeting. This meeting, you know, the flag is raised about certain situation and need. This is right. Many things actually can be preempted before, while it's brewing. Many problems can be what? Averted before they ripen. And these things should be part of our work. We are not here just to always fight fire after the fact, after things happen. That is too late. Damage is done. We need to foresee certain things. We need to have a foresight about things to preempt, to prevent certain things from happening. That's part of protecting the flock. That's part of looking after the interests of the church. Therefore, many times when things happen, number three here, you have anticipated the situation, have taken care of it already. Isn't that good? Isn't that the elders doing their job? Four, the elders' meeting is a time for corporate dealing, and you should be prepared for this meeting in your private time. If you do not prepare in your private time, when you come to the elders' meeting, you will have nothing to say. When you come each time, nothing will happen. Now, how often have we seen this? Oops, you say, it's elders' meeting time now. Let me just go there and find out what's going on. Brothers, we should be thinking about this the whole week. We should have been thinking about things, situation needs, the whole day. Before the Lord, even by ourselves. And then when we come, I'm just waiting for that time to be with the brothers so that we can collectively, corporately, deal with this matter or discuss these matters. So we should be exercised before this meeting, outside of this meeting, and not just wait to come to the meeting and find out what's going on. Of course, there'll be that side. The point here, brothers, is that we're exercised, we're engaged, we're burdened. We won't come with nothing to say. Even if we come with nothing to say, brothers, it is because we've been through the exercise and we really don't have anything to say. But some others may have something to say. All right? That exercise, brothers, is a real sign that you are really bearing the responsibility. You're taking your duty very seriously. D, you need to continue working until one day all the brothers and sisters respect the meeting of the elders. They will know that this day or this half a day is the time the responsible brothers go before the Lord to take care of things. They don't even know where you meet. They never would show up in that meeting. But they know somehow the leading brothers meet Monday night or at a certain or Saturday morning or Sunday night. They know, and they respect that. They even pray for that. They pray for that. They know that is very serious time. These brothers are going before the Lord on our behalf to take care of things before God. E, this is the most solemn time. Learn to look to the Lord in a single way. Single, meaning single, that means not double, not thinking about so many things. Let's really sanctify this time, brothers, and cut off everything and concentrate our whole being with one another before the Lord, looking to Him undistracted with a single eye. You need to know what to do before God. You need to be confident, godly, single for service, and without any barrier between you and the Lord. Of course, we have to make sure we're right with the Lord, even we're right with each other. How often brothers come to the meeting, they cannot speak, they cannot be open, they cannot be intimate, because they even have problems with each other. They have offenses between them. And how can they truly coordinate? How can the Lord bless that lack of one accord? So, brothers, we need to be right in every way when we gather. You should do all things well in every respect, then you have a clear pathway ahead of you. That means what? That means we take care of everything in a proper way. We do all things well. We treat everything carefully, properly, right? We do things in a proper way. Okay. I think some of us are more proper in the daily work you know, with your boss, with your company, you're really proper. When it comes to the church affairs, you're just kind of sloppy, you're kind of improper, you can, no, brothers, no, that is wrong. This is more serious business than that. Number three, in all times you should maybe intimate with one another. I like this word intimate. Intimate. Brothers who are built up, brothers who are close, brothers who are transparent, brothers who can open to each other, the more the better. When there's transparency like this, when there's really heart to heart, able to be intimate, the Lord can move a lot more smoothly. However, when you come to this meeting, it is not a matter of how well you know each other, for this is the time we truly go before God. Of course, we do not mean there's some soulish relationship or just we are buddy buddies. We're intimate because we are what? We are bearing the same burden. We're shouldering the same ark. We're close to each other. We are placed together to bear this burden. So we are intimate, and we should be intimate. All right? Brothers, take care of any problem amongst yourselves. Pay that price. This is not about you. This is about the church. Let things go. Let others take advantage of you. You preserve this one accord. You take care of the Lord's things first. This heart, this attitude is right. Okay, number four. The principle of discussing matters in the elders' meeting is to let the Holy Spirit be the presiding one. So this is a whole part of this outline. This, I believe, is from Brother Witness Lee, not Watchman Nee. The principles are set forth here. Not details. Not practical details, but principles. Okay? Whenever the elders come together, they need to pray themselves into the Spirit. They need to pray their different understandings into the oneness. Why we need to pray is to bring us all into the Spirit, and also to bring us all into the one accord. Praying does that. Praying does that. So let's resist the urge to talk and not to pray first. Let's fight. Let's fight and build up the habit of praying much and in a much and thorough way before we get into other things. So we are in the Spirit with the Lord and also in a oneness with the brothers. In the elders' meeting, we should not elect someone to preside over the meeting. Of course, we shouldn't do that. Even there's a brother who's more senior. He should not be the one who, quote, quote, preside over the meeting. You say, how about James? How about Simeon or Cephas or Peter in Acts 15, which is part of the reference verses here in that famous meeting in Jerusalem regarding keeping the Jewish ordinances, you know, this being imposed on the Gentiles, etc., etc. Well, yes, James had the final word and Peter had the opening word, but in reality, were not presiding. They're not the one with the gavel. They're not the one sitting up there as the speaker of the house, presiding of the meeting. They, because of their experience, because of their maturity, because of their seniority, they know the Lord's mind more, and so they represent the Spirit and the fellowship and the body to make some conclusion. But they're not those who are presiding in that sense. The authority of the Holy Spirit is the most important. Brothers, we all need to learn when we sit together to know the leading of the Spirit and to follow the Spirit and to be under the authority of the Spirit. One of the biggest sign or proof that this church is a true church, a real local church. It's not just a ground of locality, but whether this place, the Holy Spirit, has authority or not. Or is it a man? Or is it a group of men? Is the Holy Spirit in control? All right? If we annul the authority of the Spirit and the meeting is offensive to the Holy Spirit, that's why we need to pray. Sometimes we need to say, brothers, we're not going anywhere. How about we just have a word of prayer to touch the Spirit again, to come under His authority again, to hopefully receive His leading again. When the elders come together, if someone senses the leading within to mention a certain matter that needs a decision, he may mention it. Then all may speak forth their feeling, so that everyone may seek the Lord's leading together, according to example of Acts 15. Everyone in that meeting should have the right to say something. Now, of course, it's up to all of us to exercise ourselves, to say something according to our measure, to not overreach. If you're very young, a young learning one, you should know your place. There's certain things you should say, there's certain things you should not say. And these are up to our exercise. But in principle, it's a place where we can all share something that is on our heart. It says in Acts 15 here that it was what? It was after much discussion has taken place that Peter stood up, you know, eventually leading to Barnabas and Saul giving the Paul giving the testimony, and eventually James giving the conclusion. But before that, there was much discussion. That means many of the brethren, they all, according to their view, offer something. Sometimes the view may not be the same. They may be contrary. But in purity of heart, in purity of spirit, they should, in faithfulness, they should say something. But let us learn the matter of fellowship. We talk about that when we talk about the fellowship of the elders, right? Fellowship means it's two-way. Fellowship means we do not impose something on people or oppose what others would say. We do not insist, nor do we resist. We should practice all those things here. Okay. But anyway, we should all be open, and it is by the opening of the of our feeling of the brothers that we slowly come to know the Lord's mind. Let's say we fellowship about this one matter, right? Four of the brothers feel very good about it. One brother doesn't. Well, we don't vote here. We need to pray. And in the end, we may still not have a full consensus in that way, but it is for most of the brothers feel that way, only one doesn't, and that one should learn to what? Let go of his opinion and take the majority's way. Now, I'm not here for democracy, the majority, determines the day. No, I'm not talking in that realm. But this is so that things can move on, right? In the Spirit, by the cross. Sometimes this is one brother holding up, and he refused to budge, and he insists that there need to be unanimity. He insists on certain things. That's, brothers, that is not the right spirit, I would say. And many times it is because of that, decisions were stuck for a long, long time. I would say that is a bit dysfunctional, all right? Learn to be in the Spirit, to put aside our own ways and accept the feeling of the body, but at the same time, very honest, very frank, very open in whatever feeling that we may have. Okay. All right. In the elders' meeting, we need to learn to follow the Spirit in discussing the matters. So even before we voice something, you better check first. Don't just blurt it out. Don't just speak your mind. check before the Lord even before you say it. Should I say it? Is there something here? Consider the matter. Reflect upon it. Then you say something. Not just quickly, not just impulsively. No. Things that you have gone through within you. You have some consideration before the Lord about. We learn to follow the Spirit this way. Thus, the elders should be real priests who have direct contact with God and seek God. These are what the priests do. Standing before the Lord, right? Looking to the Lord, right? In His presence. Contacting God in everything. Seeking God, right? Their relationship with God should be so intimate that He can tell them His intention at any time. The only way we would know the Lord's feeling is by touching Him. The only way we know His intention is by contacting Him. There's no other way. Right? Those who know how to contact the Lord know the Lord's mind more readily. That's why they're the mature ones, right? We all need to learn and practice, right? Be a person who knows the Spirit. E, when the elders follow the Holy Spirit in discussing matters, there should neither be democracy nor autocracy, but a theocracy, that is, the rule of God. We talked about this before. God desires that we seek His instruction. God rules. Everyone have to let down their wings, all the four living creatures. Everyone would humble themselves. We pray, we fellowship. Eventually, we all have what is in us. Lord, You rule. Lord, You make the decision. Lord, You give the order. Right? F, in order to be infused with the instruction of God to care for the church, the elders must enter into the reality of reading the saints. Just as the high priest in the Old Testament read the stones on the breastplate with the Urim and Thummim in the presence of God. Now, I don't have much time. You go and read the excerpts. This much there concerning the breastplate here with 18 Hebrew alphabets, and then you have the Urim and Thummim. One is called the Perfecter, the is called the Illuminator, right? There's a lot of speaking in types or interpretation of types to let us know that it is through this shining or the lack of shining or the darkening of a particular stone that if the high priest begin to read, as it were, these stones, and by constructing these alphabets together, sentence, a word, a sentence, a paragraph, that he would read God's instructions. And these stones, whether it's on the breasts, whether it's on the shoulders, they all what? They refer to the saints, the children of Israel. So the priests, or today we're God's priests. We know the Lord's mind, the Lord's intention by three things. Number one, by His word, according to the law in the Old Testament, but with us, His living word. Number two, by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit's inward leading. But number three, we also know the Lord's mind, the Lord's way, by what? By reading the saints, by the brothers and sisters, by reading their condition in the Lord's presence. Okay, I won't get into this. You can read this. When the elders come together, they must bear the brothers and sisters on their shoulders, representing strength, and hold them on their heart, representing love. Brothers, when we are before the Lord in our elders' meeting, we are really priests, and we should be bearing the saints on our heart, loving them, and on our shoulders, right, supporting them before the Lord. That should be our feeling. I'm bearing the saints in my district. I'm bearing the saints in the church together. We bear them before the Lord. And we read them before the Lord, right? And this means we need to love them, the breasts. We need to support them on our shoulders, just like the great high priest, the Lord Christ, does still today in the heavens. If the church has a problem and the elders need to see how the church should go on, they should go to the Lord God with much prayer. In the presence of the Lord through prayer, they can read the letters on the stones of the breastplate, which is to read all the members of the church, taking the members as the letters of a divine typewriter. Then God's speaking will come to them, telling them what to do and how to do it. Number three, the elders need not only the Bible and the Holy Spirit, but also all the brothers and sisters as the alphabet. This means that they need to bear the brothers and sisters before God and read the condition of every brother and sister before God. In this way, the elders will know what God wants them to do and what God's present will is in the church life, the Lord's present will. Right, what the Lord is doing now, or what the Lord wants to do now, oftentimes come to us when we read the saints. I certainly have. This is my common experience. I will tell you this, brothers, just even as one who ministers the word, who speak forth some of the Lord's burden today. How should I say? Before my looking to the Lord, besides my reading of the word, I tell you, a lot of the feeling comes from my contacting the saints, my pondering of what this saint, and many times a little saint, a saint with no intention to about anything. He just shares something on his heart, and that reading becomes a source of light, a source of an alphabet. And I put these alphabets together, a picture, a speaking, a paragraph begins to emerge. And within, of course, I check with the Word, I check with the Spirit. And this is how, this is not superstition, right? This is the very, very spiritual and yet practical way for us to know God's will, God's speaking. For this is an excellent type in the Old Testament, and when it is realized in the New Testament, it preserves the principle of God's government. So we're here carrying out God's administration as the overseers. We're here representing God's government among his people. And so how is this government carried out or executed, right? It depends a lot of data, a lot of information about the state of the affairs of the people. So to properly rule on behalf of the Lord, to properly administrate on behalf of the Lord, we need to know where the people are. That tells us very much of what the Lord wants to do or needs to do today. All right, brothers, I think this is quite good enough. You can tell the burden that is within me. I hope this is certainly something not only you can study, you can begin to practice. Now, you would run into this or that, you know, how do we start, how do we reset our meetings? Well, brothers, I just encourage you that you do. I believe if you all treat this meeting in a renewed, solemn, and serious way, the Lord will lead you. The Lord will lead you. All right? The important thing, brothers, is your personal exercise, your estimation of this meeting, your presence in this meeting, not missing it, your whole being in the meeting, prayer, proper deliberation, intimacy in matters, keeping confidentiality, and all around, right, in the spirit with each other, putting aside all of our self-concern and private interests, and just lay before the Lord the certain matters before him. Now, there are a lot of practical things we can talk about. Brother Lee say here, there should be no agenda. Well, we found that a big church like what we have in Irvine, we need some agenda. Otherwise, we're all over the place covering some not important things and wasted the time. So No agenda means we still follow the Spirit, but we do need, you know, whenever we meet every Monday, we ask the brothers, do you have anything to bring up today? So we can all know and even have some pre-exercise before the meeting. So we don't just come in cold and then got hit with this matter or that matter. We all have some exercise before the Lord already. And that allows us also to be efficient with the time. Sometimes our meeting is just going round and round and round. No one dares to propose making a decision, kick the can down the road. Sometimes our meeting is too quick, you know, just a few words. Okay, let's go, let's do it. Too quick, without time for the brothers all to share and all for time to really consider the matter before the Lord. So all these things we need to practice and exercise in a balanced way. And may the Lord really, really even revolutionize, improve, upgrade our meetings for the sake of his church. Amen.